We're going to hear from God's word, from Paul's letter to the Galatians. We're going to be looking at this letter over this and the next three Sundays. And there's six chapters altogether, so the readings will be quite long, but please try and focus on them. These are really important words for us today. But the idea is that by doing this in a few weeks, we can try and get a real sense of what this letter is about. And also this evening at 6 o'clock, we'll be meeting for evening worship. And during that time, I'm going to try and give an overview of the whole letter so that we can really see where everything fits into it. But for now, let's hear from Galatians chapter 1.
This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself. And by God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preached to you. I say again, what we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jews' religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the tradition of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away into Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostles I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declared before God that what I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the province of Syria in Cilicia. And still the Christians in the churches in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. Then, 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be the leaders of the church and shared with them the message I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement, for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. Even that question came up only because of some so-called Christians there, false ones, really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to know their Jewish regulations. But we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favourites. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as the pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles, where they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do.
Amen. We thank God for that word. Well, it's great to be back today and great to be able to try and bring God's word to you again today. We want to try and see what God's word has to say to us this morning. As I was listening to that, there's that bit where it talks about, you know, if somebody should ever bring you a different gospel, let them be under God's curse. And I find that a bit uncomfortable. The actual original doesn't say anything about God at that point. The word is actually the word from which we get our English word anathema. And I've been trying to think, how do I explain this word anathema? What's our attitude meant to be like? And then yesterday, I was reading an article in a newspaper or on the online version about parkrun, which is something that I'm very much into. And it was a very similar article to one that I read a while ago in a different paper. And what it was talking about was the way that this thing has started, which is so different to everything else. And one of the big differences is it's free. The person who started it up was absolutely determined that however big it got, people would never be charged for doing it. That you could turn up at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning and you could just do the run. And also that it would be open to everybody regardless of ability. So whether it takes you 15 minutes or 70 to do 5K, you are welcome. You are part of this. And this article then said that the idea that people should be charged for going to parkrun is anathema. It's the thing that will just not be tolerated. If you want to debate the way it's going, that's fine. If you want to talk about it, that's fine. But it's free. and it always will be. Or is that Facebook? Anyway, Facebook is a money-making venture, though. But it's free and it always will be. You are welcome, no matter what your ability is, and you don't have to pay. And this gospel that we have, this good news, is a message for everybody. It's a message regardless of your goodness or ability. And it is a message about the grace, about the free gift of God. We come here today because God has a gift that he wants to give to us. This is a message of wonderful news. And the idea that this should be changed is anathema. Jesus died for us. Jesus rose again for us. Jesus calls us to faith in him. Jesus gives new life. This good news that we have is not to be changed. Now, there's lots of things we can debate about it. Lots of interpretation. You know, we're not here to say that we must all dot the I's and cross the T's in the same way. If I was to sit down with any of you, I'd probably find at some point that what you believed was a bit different to what I believe. So we're not here to say, here is exactly what the Christian faith is. Let's debate it and let's debate what it means today. But there are core issues on which to say, right, you can be a Christian and not believe that is anathema. And Paul says that what has happened is he's gone to this place, he's announced the good news, people have responded. In fact, they have responded absolutely wonderfully. He describes it later on in the letter. We'll get there in a couple of weeks' time. People have responded in a great way. And yet when Paul has moved on, some other people are coming along with a different version of the gospel. And Paul is shocked that they are starting to swallow this new version of the gospel, which, as Paul puts it, is not a gospel at all. And since the word gospel means good news, he's saying it is not good news at all. And he says, if anybody wants to preach that version of the gospel, let it then be anathema. And over the next few weeks, and we'll start trying to tease this out tonight, we'll start to look at what these people were saying and why Paul felt so strongly about it, that this wasn't just a matter of they've got a few little things different, but this is different to the core. So a lot of our Bible reading this morning is about Paul like laying out his credentials. It's about Paul saying, here's why you should listen to me and not them. Now, you could listen to that and think that Paul was being arrogant, but sometimes a messenger has a message to give and says, no, this is the message, and I do have the right to say it. Now, Paul's got a word for that. He says, I'm an apostle. I'm someone who has been sent by God. And those people, he says, are not apostles. So he takes a lot of time in our Bible reading this morning to try and say to them, I'm the one you should be listening to. My version of the gospel is the correct one. And for us today, that raises some important issues. Why should we listen to Paul today? Come to think of it, why should we read the Bible at all? I mean, whenever there are debates about religion nowadays, you can be pretty sure that somebody's going to say, why should we listen to something from 2,000 years ago? People say, well, surely that's going to be out of date. Surely it's going to be old-fashioned. Surely it's not going to relate to today's world. But Paul's words here are saying, no, I am authorized to speak to you. And as we go through this letter, we'll see that there's a lot at stake for us. Paul has got a lot that he wants to say about Christian freedom. And he's saying, the difference between me and these other people who are bringing this different version of the gospel is that my version of the gospel sets you free, their version of the gospel traps you or to use Paul's word, it makes you a slave. So he says, if you listen to them rather than me, you're actually walking away from what God has announced. So Paul lays out in our Bible reading this morning why we should be listening to him rather than to other people. And he's got two things that he wants to say. One thing that he wants to say is that although he was not one of the real first generation believers, by which I mean the people who walked around with Jesus, got to know him, saw him being crucified, met him after he rose from the dead, Paul wants to say that although he is not one of them, that his gospel agrees with theirs. Now, he says in the Bible reading, and we haven't got time to look at all the detail here and how it fits in with the book of Acts, but he says, at first, that didn't bother me. He says, at first, I believed God revealed himself to me, and immediately I started going around preaching this message. But years later, he got to the point where he thought, look, we really need to check this out. There's stuff going on. And he spent time with those first believers. And they came to the conclusion that they had nothing to add to what Paul was saying. So Paul is saying, my version of the gospel is the same as the first generation of believers. But he's also saying, I have had a personal encounter with Christ. I've met him. I know him. And that was why when I first had this revelation, and if you know the story, you know, he meets the Lord on the Damascus Road where he's on the way to try and round up Christians to put them in prison. He said, when I had that revelation, I didn't hang about. I didn't waste time checking it out. I had heard. I knew. And I started preaching, and this message went round that this man who used to be trying to destroy this faith in Jesus Christ is now actually proclaiming it. Strikes me as I've been thinking about that this week, that there's a lot of similarity here to what we were looking at when in the summer we were looking at the second letter of Peter. Because Paul says, I want you to know that it squares with what those first-generation believers said. Well, not first-generation, but original believers said. And I want you to know I received it from God. And he name-checks Peter on the way through as a person he agrees with. Next week he'll tell us about a bit of an argument with him, but that's another story. So Paul is saying, I agree with them. Peter, you may remember if you were here in the summer, in the second letter of Peter says, I'm telling you these things, and these are the same things that Paul writes about in his letter. In fact, Peter describes Paul in 2 Peter chapter 3 as his dear brother. So when Paul says it's the same as Peter, Peter is also saying it's the same as Paul. As we might say, they both say we are singing from the same hymn sheet here. Peter does, of course, say as well that Paul writes some things in his letters that are difficult to understand and that people distort them. So if you found anything from this morning's Bible reading difficult to understand, the Apostle Peter would agree with you. But let's try and keep it as simple as we can. So Paul's saying, this gospel that I have, it doesn't come from a human origin. It wasn't that a human being taught it to me. I didn't go to school to learn it. I didn't go and find some rabbi and get them to teach me. I didn't even go to Peter and James and John and those people and ask them to teach me. I encountered God, and he taught me. And he gave me this commission to speak this to you. I think it's important to see that both sides of this are important. Both that he agrees, he's checked it out, he agrees with the original disciples, but also that he, because of his encounter with the Lord, has a right to speak from personal authority. So we come to this letter realizing that this person comes to us making these huge claims about his message. Now, if we look at them, some people might say, well, we think he is making this up. Remember Peter, in 2 Peter we looked at in the summer, we did not follow cleverly invented stories. We saw it. We saw him on the mountain. We heard the voice from God saying, this is my son. But for us as Christian believers, we believe, and we believe there's good historical evidence for this, that this is firsthand preaching from somebody who has met with our Lord. So what's he got to say about this gospel? Well, he'll really get going next week, but he drops a lot of things into this reading that are really important for us understanding what the gospel is about. He says, grace and peace to you. He says, this is about grace. That's why we started with that song, Amazing Grace, this morning, because through the centuries, people have thought that the grace of God is amazing. That the gospel, the good news, is about a free gift of life that God offers. Grace is what you haven't earned. Grace is what you haven't deserved. Grace is what you haven't worked for. And the message is, if that's you, you're in. You're welcome. There is good news for you. And he says, peace to you. Peace is about building relationships properly. It's not just about not fighting each other. It's about God saying in Jesus, I'm offering you peace. I'm offering you a whole new relationship with me, which is a solid relationship, a good relationship. You are welcome to be part of that relationship. He says that this comes from God our Father. That this is not a message of a distant God who's miles away and not particularly interested in us. It's a God who cares for us and loves us. Jesus had so much to say about God as our Father. And he says it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. That is our good news. This is what Paul will have taught them. That after Jesus rose from the dead, God seated Jesus as his right hand and declared that Jesus is Lord. The gospel's not a take it or leave it thing, do it if you like the sound of it. It's a response to something that God has done, God's most significant act in all history. And this Jesus is the Christ. He is God's chosen one who gave himself for our sins. Yes, the human race have fallen short. Yes, we have lost our relationship with God. But Jesus gave himself to restore that relationship with us. This is an amazing and wonderful thing. Do you see why Paul said it's anathema that people should say it's not about that? It was anathema when people started coming in. We will get into this more and started saying, well, yes, it is about Jesus, but it's also about this. And you've also got to be doing this. No, Paul says it is about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to rescue us from the present evil age. And he didn't mean sort of the 30 years that he lived in. He meant this age in which the world is not centered around God as it should be. And he says, in Jesus, a new age has launched. In Jesus, people are already starting to enter into God's wonderful future. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And when these people turn from this, he says to them, you're deserting God. You're leaving God because this is what God has done. So today, that's about it. Next week, we can get into what the particular problems were. But today, this is a gospel of grace. This is a gospel of peace. It's about Jesus giving himself. It's about him being raised from the dead. That's what he says. Didn't think I mentioned that enough. In verse 1, you know, I am sent not from men or by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. It's about Jesus rising from the dead, offering us new life, offering us the entry point into God's future. And Paul says, don't change that. It's too wonderful to lose. And today we're surrounded by all sorts of people who want to tell us all sorts of things. And a lot of those things are worth listening to. But above everything else, our role as a church is to say to the world, this is what God has done. And this is where we stand. And yes, the last verse says that the one thing that Peter and James and John said to Paul was that he remember the poor. And there's a practical outworking. But we say we believe in this wonderful message and we seek to live in it. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent this man called Paul. We thank you that you revealed yourself to him. We thank you that he was able to speak because you commissioned him and that his gospel agreed with what people like Peter, James, and John were saying. Lord, we want to be attentive to this gospel. We don't want to do what the Galatians did, which was almost accidentally to walk away from it. So today, Lord, we affirm our faith in Jesus. Today we say that Jesus is the one who is risen from the dead and he is Lord. And we want to live in his grace. We want to live in his peace. And Father, we want to be full of that knowledge. So Father, as we come to worship now, Father, let your Spirit be working within us that we can receive from you today. Amen.